Welcome to the Dildorks, dorky discourse on sex, dating, and masturbating. My name is Kate Sloan. I'm a sex journalist, a sex blogger, and I like being called a good girl so much that I got it tattooed on my body. Pretty cool. Who are you, friend?
I am Bex Caputo. I'm a sex educator and a porn maker, and I don't know how to be anything other than, like, a praise top. Like, someone tried to pay me to be mean to them the other day, and I was like, oh, I'm bad at this. I didn't realize. Sorry, you're paying me already. I'll figure it out, but I'm not great at this. Whoops.
I know. I'm that way, too. I've had a couple of people try to pay me to say mean shit to them, and I just, like, it feels bad in my body. It doesn't feel natural or normal at all. And I'm just like, you're probably trying your best and you're probably like doing the best that you can do. And like, I don't know. I just get too nervous about it.
I kept building in opportunities. Like, if you don't do what I say, then I'm going to have to make you waiting for them to, because I play with so many like good boys and just like waiting for them to be like, oh yes, I'll have to. And they would be like, no, the game is you force me. That's what we're, why are you adding extra steps? Why are, get several big strong men to come force me to do this. I'm like, right, yes, mm-hmm, right, yep, that's what we signed up for. Yeah, no, sure, I remember.
So we're talking about praise kink today. I remember first coming across this term in fan fiction, probably like as a tag in some Sherlock fanfic. Which makes sense as a differentiating factor for Sherlock fandom in particular, because a lot of that fandom is like them saying mean shit to each other or like being kind of cold to each other. So yeah, it is a little bit different to hear like open-hearted praise between John and Sherlock. But what do you think? How am I phrasing this question? How would you define what praise kink is?
Okay, so I want to preface this by saying this definition is based only on the fact that I know what both of those two words mean and I'm a fucking pervert. But essentially, I think of it as the eroticization of the practice of praise. Now that's using the word in the definition. But like doting upon someone, telling them what a good job they've done, telling them all the things that are fantastic about them, telling them exactly what you appreciate about this particular job they've done, right? Playing with all of that in an erotic and kinky context. And there are a couple of different ways that you can do that, or a couple of different flavors that I think we'll talk about a little more throughout the episode.
Yeah, I think that's a good definition. And one of the questions we got was about, like, what differentiates praise kink from just enjoying being complimented? And I think this is kind of one of those things where it's, like, not so much a binary as a spectrum.
Yeah, I think the difference is a pervert's talking about it. I don't.
Right. And I also think that, like, there are some people definitely who, like, get directly turned on from hearing praise. But for me, I know that a lot of it as well is, like, when I am praised, I feel more able to relax and I feel more comfortable and happy and safe. And that makes it easier then to become aroused from other things. I was thinking about this yesterday because I happened to be glancing at my notes from this workshop that I attended years ago with Andy Isenson, who was talking about kind of like the world building tools of DS and how you
fucking
can use them.
Andy.
I know, Andy's a genius. But they were talking about like how basically DS gives you these world building tools and you can build whatever reality you want to and whatever reality you and your partner agree to. And so, you know, there's a lot of things that you can do that are very wild and out there in terms of like, you know, aliens, con, non-con, whatever the fuck it is. But also you can create a world where like you feel safe and loved and taken care of. And like that's a perfectly also valid version of DS world building. And I think praise for me is like kind of part of how that works.
Yeah, I remember, I think it was in that same workshop, they were talking about how one of the great things about DS is that we build up this whole game where like the dominant is brilliant and powerful and strong and almost all-knowing. Like we trust them implicitly and we believe the things that they say and we follow them. And then that person who we have in our little game given so much power to says, I believe you're good. Like, I believe you've done a good job. I am proud of you. shit, all our rules say we have to listen to them. Like, yeah. All the rules say they have to be right. Shit. Yep. Like, that's really fucking powerful. Mm-hmm. And you can, in the way they were talking about with that world building, use all of these tools that we use for, like, kinky pervy things to also reinforce things that, like, you probably should believe and wish you did believe, and on your best days, maybe even do believe, mm-hmm. but sometimes are hard to believe.
Yeah, exactly. There was also some talking in that workshop about, like, DS can be an opportunity, or kink in general can be an opportunity to practice feelings that you want to feel more often in your real life and kind of get mm-hmm. better at those feelings. So, you know, things like empowerment, agency, feeling able to communicate, but also mm-hmm. things like when your partner praises you and you have that rush of like, oh, I'm a good person. I'm good and strong and accomplished and loved mm-hmm. and safe. And I really do think that the more you practice those feelings, the easier it gets to access them even in other situations.
Yeah, absolutely.
Another thing I wanted to shout out is, like, even if praise is not directly part of your kink play necessarily, I think that in general it should be part of aftercare, or it should be part of DS dynamics in general, even if not necessarily during your play, because mm-hmm. DS is really hard. It's really challenging for both/all participants a lot of the time. And you just, it's nice. It's good practice to compliment the people that you're playing with on what they do well and what you like about them. I think that it creates a much emotionally safer environment in which to do the things that we do.
Absolutely. And even if it doesn't look particularly like the kind of praise that we'll probably describe as a lot of our examples for today, mm-hmm. like, you may not have the kind of dynamic where it makes sense or is even fun or sexy for you to kind of dote upon each other. Mm-hmm. I do think it is important to build into your dynamic signs that both of you kind of accept that, like, this is going well. We're both mm-hmm. having fun. We're both having a good time, mm-hmm. right? Like, praise can, sometimes for me, it can be about just, like, being, knowing the other person is having a great time. Mm-hmm. Like, I know I'm doing a good job if they're delighting in hurting me or whatever it is that they're doing. Mm-hmm. Right? So that can look a lot of different ways, but I agree that somewhere into your dynamic there needs to be this assurance that, like, even that we're on the right path, right? Because I do need to feel some kind of certainty that the kind of kink I'm doing is the thing that we are both enjoying, even mm-hmm. if the game is pretending that we're not enjoying it.
Yeah, someone in our Discord was pointing out that, you know, when you do a check-in with the stoplight system in the middle of a scene and you say, what color are you? And then the sub or bottom says green. This person was saying that that functions in essence as a type of praise for the top or the dominant, which mm-hmm. I hadn't really thought about. And some people in the Discord were also saying they hadn't really thought about it that way. But it's true. It's like, that is a compliment. That is a sign that it's going well. You're doing the right things. And I think that what's nice about that is, like, the sub doesn't have to put together some kind of flowery language actual compliment in order to convey that sentiment in a way that the dominant will be able to receive and understand.
Yeah, absolutely. Another tool I found helpful for kind of implicit praise, I guess, as the scene is going on, is a question I learned from Midori, who is a fantastic educator, who mm-hmm. asks, as part of her negotiations, what will you look like when things are going well? Mm-hmm. And simply having someone say, oh, when I'm having a really great time, I get spacey in this very particular way. I do these little things, like these tells I've noticed about myself. Mm-hmm. And then halfway through the scene, seeing them do that thing mm-hmm. that they warned me would happen if they're having a really good time. Like, no, yeah, that's not them sitting down and telling me, wow, you're such a great dominant. You did such a good job hurting me. But I'm like, hey, I made them do the thing. Look at me go. They did that. Look at them. They're doing the thing. Look at me go. Right?
Yeah.
It can kind of build those reassurances into the scene for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. My partner and I were having a discussion recently about how to improve kind of the flow of, like, post-scene compliments from me to them, because mm-hmm. like, I have a really hard time saying anything after a scene or even sometimes during a scene. And then often because I was so spacey during the scene, especially if we're doing like intoxication or hypnosis or something, like the next day I might have sort of like fuzzy, vague memories of what happened. So what we eventually settled on was that they would put an item on my to-do list for the day that's like send scene feedback. So I would like text them or just like tell them. And it could be things that I wanted to adjust or change or that weren't quite working for me. But by and large, it tends to be praise. Like, I really liked this part. It was really good how you did this. And yeah, I think that that ended up being a way that works for us in terms of like they don't feel like they're being too needy by like putting that in my to-do list. And I don't feel like I'm being put on the spot to like provide more information than I actually have, which sometimes has happened to me in the past with other tops where they were just like asking me all these questions. And I was like, honestly, I don't know. I was like very deep in subspace and like couldn't tell you.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And it sounds like that's a really great system that y'all have.
Yeah. So I would love if you could tell us a little bit about like the role of praise in your own kinks and kind of like how that makes you feel and how you use that.
For me, I mean, so this ties into, I don't use like the phrasing praise kink all that often, but I do identify heavily as service oriented. And I think these two tie in together a lot because when I am playing with someone, whether I am topping or bottoming, what I am trying to do is do something for them. Right? Whether I am like physically cleaning their house for them or I am crafting a scene based on the things I know about them and the things that they enjoy, or whether I am sitting down and helping them complete this task that they're really stressed out about and telling them what a great job they're doing as they get the task done, right? Praise is very much a tool in the way my kink works, right? It is a thing I use often to help my partners feel all warm and fuzzy and paid attention to and cared for. And it is also kind of what fuels that servicey energy. I also love that feeling of someone being appreciative of this care and this service that I have given to them. It is a way of showing love and affection and devotion to someone. So when they are grateful for it and when they have done a good job and when they are, or when I have done a good job and they are like excited and rewarding and praising me for that good job, it feels really good. I mean, it's as simple as that. So it comes up a lot in my dynamics, and I would much rather be told I have done a good job than frame things in kind of a punishment context, which is how I think a lot of people expect kink to be framed often.
Yeah, I find that when I'm talking to vanilla people or like people who haven't done hardly any kink at all, and maybe you're not even that into it, and I mentioned being submissive, often they'll jump to being like, oh, so you're a bad girl. And I'm like, no, like I'm actually really not. Like I don't behave like a bad girl and I don't want to be called a bad girl. It's just not my kink. Yeah, it does seem to be like a misconception people have. Although like there are plenty of people out there who want to be called a bad girl and punished for it. But like, that, you know, that's just not my thing. Yeah, I agree with everything you're saying there. I think like when I first started getting into kink and realizing that I was really into being praised, I kind of chalked it up to like words of affirmation being my love language, which I do think is like a factor here if you believe in the love languages framework. But also in doing therapy, I've come to also kind of reflect on like, I'm a survivor of emotional abuse, which involved being yelled at and berated. And so there's something really particularly healing for me about being told that I'm good and I'm doing a good job and having those sentiments be expressed verbally. They just seem to sink in easier for me. They seem to be more believable for me than reassurances through other means. I have a really hard time being with partners who are not good at articulating themselves in that way, which is not to say that it's not possible. this is something I see often in discussions of Praise Kink, is like mismatches between somebody who really wants praise and somebody who feels sort of uncomfortable providing it, whether they feel like they're not articulate enough or they just feel sort of awkward about it or whatever. I do think that those issues can be worked around. Sometimes it's easier for somebody to write praise in a text format, email, text, physical letter, whatever it may be. But I tend to prefer to be with partners who are like pretty effusive with their praise, like pretty much from the get-go. Like it really, it shows to me, like even if that's coming up in like early flirting, that they're probably going to be compatible with me when I'm actually like over their lap or whatever.
Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense.
I also think for me, praise has a role of like, I don't know neurochemically what's happening, but there does seem to be some kind of boost of like dopamine or oxytocin or whatever it is when I hear myself called a good girl or whatever it is, which makes it easier for me to push through some pain or some difficult sensations that I'm doing. It's really weird. Like it doesn't feel like just a mental effect. It feels like it actually affects me physically in some way, which is really cool.
Yeah, well, I mean, there is something to, I was just reading earlier about how your pain tolerance can be impacted when you have an audience. Like, I mean, quite simply, exhibitionism is a thing, right?
Right.
But all of that can influence how our body interprets pain and things. And I think there is something in line with that when we're talking about someone saying, like, you know, good girl or whatever, allowing you to be able to take a little bit more. It seems to, like, yes, it's an audience of one, but it's one very extremely important person. It's one person that our brain has said is very, very high priority.
Yeah.
And just having like the affirmation and the praise from them, like there is something about an external source validating things that you're experiencing that makes them feel a little bit more real and a little bit more true. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Can you give us some examples of like some more concrete ways that kink shows up, or that praise shows up in your kink life, rather?
Sure. I mean, I think so. We've talked a lot about it being kind of a tool to help people get through things. So it might just be like, you're doing such a good job. You're being such a good girl for me taking this beating. Or it can be things like, are you going to be a good girl and get all the things done on your to-do list, right? Like, it is both a motivator and a reward. And just from that, like, external source giving it that little bit of extra weight, certainly. I think it can also look like my brain is giving me, like, a puppy pet play scenario with someone just on their knees, be like, you're such a good job. You're just such a good job. But it can just be about like doting upon someone and saying how good and fantastic they are. They are this prized pet. They are this prized toy, you know, whatever. It can be about even like tied someone in with objectification, right? You're praised and cared for as this precious little thing. And then I've also seen it go like kind of beyond objectification into this humiliation kind of framework where like you're going to take all of this praise no matter how embarrassed you get, no matter how like nervous or flustered or like whatever. We're just going to sit here and talk about how fantastic you are this whole time and you're going to have to hear it, which can also be quite fun.
Yeah, we got a question about that actually, praise as humiliation slash discomfort, which we'll get to in a second. I totally identify with all of those examples. Makes me think about the psychological phenomenon of self-efficacy, which is that like if you believe yourself to be good at something, you will tend to do a better job at it. Which I notice both in myself and in partners, that like if a partner is doing something intermittently that I really like and that I want them to do more of, if I'm like, I really like it when you do that thing, or like, you're so good at doing that thing, they'll just do it more without me having to tell them to do it more, which is really nice.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, yeah, it's really good. And it works really well for me too. You know, if a partner is saying, you're so good at taking beatings and you're so good at getting through a lot of pain, then I'm like, yeah, I am. And I like actually feel like I am after I've been told that. I also think it just sort of like calms my nervous system, like I said, in a way that allows me to relax into pleasure and arousal. I was writing a newsletter this week, katesloan.substack.com, if you want to check it out, about how I frequently will ask partners if they're mad at me, because as I said, I'm an emotional abuse survivor. Cool. So like I often misread certain signals as like being dangerous or being indicative of like I've pissed them off somehow, I've disappointed them. So to hear from a partner when I'm in that state, or even when I'm not, like, you did everything right today. You did everything you needed to do. I'm not mad at you, not even 1%. Like, that it may not seem like praise exactly, but, like, it helps me calm down so much, and it makes everything else easier to handle after that.
Yeah. There's also just functionally something connective about it in a scene. Praise is... I mean, at its simplest, praise can be a thing to talk about when you're scening together, right? Like, if I am bent over in front of someone taking a beating from them, the only place they're touching me might be where they're hitting me, right? I can't super see them. I'm not really talking to them a whole lot. I'm mostly just squealing and yelling and whatever. I may even be blindfolded. Like, I don't open my eyes a ton when I'm getting hit. So that praise is like, oh, they're having a good time too. Oh, right, they're here and this is fun.
Yeah.
Right? And it can be a little bit of connection in something that otherwise, I don't know, I've had beatings that were 20 minutes of silence where they didn't say anything to me. And that can be fun, but it's different and it's I'm not always chill enough with my anxiety to have that kind of scene. Like, we're not always buddies is the thing.
Right. Yeah, I get that. It kind of reminds me again of the love languages, because I do think that the love languages can be mapped onto kink to some extent. And if I'm not experiencing enough kind of like intimacy and affection in one area, then having it ramped up in another can be really helpful. Okay, let's get into some of these listener questions. First one on my list is what you just touched on a couple minutes ago about talking about the distinction between praise that people enjoy as such versus praise that people are kind of uncomfortable with as a kind of humiliation / discomfort play. And someone else in the Discord brought up maybe it's better to praise people for things that they can control. Which is a guideline that I've heard in real life, I mean, rather outside of sex and kink, for like, you know, if you're going to try to compliment somebody on the subway, maybe don't say anything about their body, but rather compliment what they're wearing or the book that they're reading or something that they actually chose. And I think that's an interesting guideline for compliments in kink. I don't think that has to be your guideline. Better to talk about it with the person you're doing it with. But yeah, can you talk a little bit about that kind of like humiliation / discomfort angle of praise?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a different flavor that you can put on the scene, right? I think it's going to depend on the person you are praising, right? The circumstance you're playing in. And yeah, the things you are praising them about, right? So you're going to have to know the person you're playing with particularly well to know which flavor of scene you're going to get, right? Like complimenting you on a particular part of your body might be a very different scene from complimenting my partner on a part of their body or whatever, right? It's not, I can't tell you the things that you can be praising to get that kind of humiliation scene. I think if you're going for a scene with a bit more of a humiliation-y tone, typically that is with people who struggle to receive praise. But it is also praise around, I find the kind of praise that is great for those scenes is praise around things that they are insecure or bashful about but want to feel good about. You know, praising someone's art or praising like particular parts of their body that they've been insecure about but you find really hot, like you're not just picking the parts that they're insecure. Like, it is your favorite part, and you're like, oh, I don't bring it up often because I know sometimes you have insecurities, but no, we're going to spend a whole scene talking about how much I actually love it, and I'm going to watch you get all blushy about it. Sorry, deal. I'm in charge. right? So, like, it is, I think if you're playing with that kind of bashful energy, it's helpful to be like, no, we want you to feel good about this. And I know it's hard, but we want you to feel good about this. So we're going to keep practicing feeling good about this until you do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally. I have also mostly used it in the way of, like, praising someone for things that they want to feel better about. I have a few tips for this type of play. One of them is for any kind of humiliation play, if you have any interest in it, you want to do it at all, I would strongly recommend reading the book Enough to Make You Blush by Princess mm-hmm. Callie. It is just like the definitive text on erotic humiliation as far as I'm concerned, and has a lot of info about like emotional safety and, you know, just the shit that you need to know. Mm-hmm. Another thing is, if somebody is really uncomfortable receiving praise, but you want to do this as part of a scene, I often find it helpful to have a blindfold on. It makes a whole lot of things easier that otherwise might feel sort of awkward or uncomfortable for me. Because, yeah, sometimes I do want that discomfort of, like, being complimented on things that I'm a little bit uncomfy about. But, like, sometimes it's actually too overwhelming to have all my senses, you know, open to that to the point that it kind of has, you know, undesirable effects. So like a blindfold really helps kind of mediate that for me.
It creates the kind of like, I can't see you, so you can't see me feeling, even exactly. if it's not true.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. It's also partly like, I never know like what to do with my face or my eyes while that kind of thing is going on. Like, I don't know if it's appropriate to like look at the person or like, I feel really awkward and like, you know, I'm looking down and stuff. I've had some doms who are like, no, make eye contact with me. And I'm like, I don't think you want that, like, I don't think you want how uncomfortable that's going to make me feel right now. another thing that I've found useful with this type of play, sometimes my partner will make me compliment myself. Like, they often do this, like, in between hits during a spanking when I'm, like, particularly having a hard time emotionally, where they'll, like, say a phrase like, you're a good girl, or, like, you did good today, or whatever, and then I have to, like, echo it back to them. And this isn't always the right flavor because it actually like really fucks me up emotionally to do this, like more than I would even think from just sort of hearing it described. Because like, especially when I'm feeling really depressed or really shitty about myself, to actually say like, I'm good, I'm accomplished, I'm smart, like in the moment, that's really hard. It's like kind of painful almost. And when I'm really depressed, sometimes I like won't even be able to say it. I'll just be like, it's not true. It's not true. And then they just sort of like wait patiently until I can say it. And then like the combination of saying that stuff with pain is often really like emotionally cathartic for me, which is often really what I need. But it is really hard. Like it is like emotional sadomasochism, essentially.
Yeah, absolutely. I've definitely had folks have me like repeat things back to them, and which can sometimes be easier than coming up with them on my own. But either way, it's like it's a lot.
Yeah. I guess the other thing I just want to reiterate is that it's really super important to check in with people about like what they're comfy being complimented on and what they're not. And like my experience is like particularly with people who have like body image or body dysmorphia issues or gender dysphoria, it can be important to check in not only like in the beginning of a relationship, but also kind of day to day, like, you know, how are you feeling about having your chest complimented today? And like, is there a word that you want me to use and whatever? Like, that's really good stuff to check on because it might change.
And it's helpful to also check in about like, so when you're feeling bad about this, how do you like me to engage with you? Because their answer when they're actually feeling bad might be different from their answer when they're like feeling a little better and like, and they'll be like, I know for me, when I'm not having a bad day, I might be able to be like, no, what I really need is for you to tell me you like my butt. I need you to, and I feel bad about my butt, but like, I need you to tell me it's great and like grab a little bit. And I'm not going to believe you and I'm going to be really grumpy about it. But also I kind of need it sometimes. Yeah. Right. So like checking in with them about in different times about like, so I know you're not going to believe me, but when you're feeling like trash, is like throwing objectifying horny things at you helpful Mm-hmm. Or does it like make you feel like you should be horny and you're not living up to my expectations and failing me in some other way? And like, I don't want to do that. Right. Yeah. But I know like certain flavors of bad mood for me, I'm like, I may be grumpy in the moment, but it still feels good to be told I'm hot.
Yeah. I also know that for me, sometimes there's a pretty big difference between you are beautiful and I find you beautiful or I think you're beautiful. Because oftentimes I can believe the latter, even if I can't believe the former. So like there have been times when my partner has been like making me echo back their praise and it's been like, you're really smart or like you're easy to love or whatever. And I've been like, that feels so untrue to me in this moment. I don't even think I can say it. So then they would adjust it to be like, daddy thinks I'm really smart or like daddy loves me very much. And like, that's way easier for me to say. Cause like, I know that that's true. So.
Mm-hmm. And that kind of brings us back to what we were talking about earlier, right? Where like you can know that that's true.
Mm-hmm.
And you can also know that you trust their judgment pretty much above all else,
mm-hmm.
which means that it probably is true, which is harder to believe, but like you've kind of gotten there through logical, like, well, but all the others are true, so I guess it's gotta. Couldn't possibly be that they don't know. No, that's silly.
Yeah, it's kind of like kinky cognitive behavioral therapy.
Mm-hmm.
All right, moving on. There's a listener question about, are there specific types of scenes that praise works particularly well with? And the examples that they offered were like first times or scenes that kind of revolve around like teaching a lesson. Curious what you think about this.
I mean, sure. I think there are scenes that it can be built into particularly well. I think there are scenes where it is particularly valuable to have.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what I'm getting at. I think that there are some scenes where a lack of praise would be a glaring omission.
Yeah.
But I don't think there are many scenes that would be hurt by the addition of praise. I think you can fit praise into most dynamics, even if it doesn't necessarily have to look like praise. I think you can find you can fit something that functions as praise if you want to. You certainly don't have to, but I think if you want to, you can fit it into pretty much any kind of scene that you would like to play. But I do like what this person was saying about first time scenes, because I do think removing praise from a first time scene would be one of those scenes where it would be kind of a glaring omission, right? When someone on either side of the slash is doing a thing for the first time, I think all of our communication knobs need to be turned up a couple of notches. And I think praise is a great way of, first of all, like helping with any anxiety or lack of confidence that they have going into it. And also, it will help with teaching them and making sure they know what is praiseworthy in this role that they're trying on for the first time, so that they know what is actually working. They need some sort of feedback to continue to get better at it.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I think praise is great for both actual first times and like role plays where the conceit is that you're doing a first time of something. So like, you know, if I was role playing as a teen girl giving her first blowjob, even though I've given so many blowjobs, it would still be nice to receive extra praise in that situation, because like that's what that character would need and want. I also think so my partner and I were discussing recently like how they want me to give them a foot job, which is something I've never done, in part because like I'm just not very flexible. Like I feel like every time I see foot jobs in porn, it's like they're very contorted in a way that makes my hips hurt just looking at it. So we were talking about, I was like, yeah, the reason I haven't done it is that there's like multi-layered reasons for like me feeling uncomfortable with it, which are like, you know, I'm not feeling too great about like how my feet look, and like I've never done it before and I'm worried about flexibility and stuff. And we were talking about it, and like compliments are going to be important there. Like even if I give the world's worst foot job, I should be complimented for that, because it's a thing that's like kind of scary and uncomfortable for me, both physically and emotionally.
You did a great job trying to give a foot job, though.
You did a great job getting your feet vaguely near my dick. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. did a fantastic job doing this scary thing. It's fine.
Yeah. Yeah. I also, I like to give praise when sex gets giggly, because I've found that, like, a lot of people, especially if they're already feeling kind of uncomfortable, will interpret giggling or laughter as, like, you laughing at them. Mm-hmm. So, like, should I tell the Baldo story briefly? All right. I got the okay yes. from Matt. We tried the Baldo yesterday, the famous Baldo. Yes. And the first time that we tried it, Matt, like, pushed their balls inside me. And literally the moment that they did that, they came. And we were in, like, a doggy style position. So they, like, came all over my back. And I just, like, felt all this cum spraying on my back. Okay. And I just started laughing gleefully because, yeah. like, we'd been talking for, like, weeks about, like, this Baldo and how we were excited to try it. And I literally, it did not occur to me that they might immediately come from using it. So I was just, like, laughing with glee about, like, this is so funny to me. But I checked with them after. I was like, you didn't, like, the laughing was okay, right? You know that I wasn't laughing at you or, like, and they were kind of into, like, being shamed for premature ejaculation in, like, a hot way. But, yeah, they were like, no, I didn't interpret it that way at all. But, like, in general, if I'm laughing or giggling at or with someone during sex, that's probably a moment for some extra praise in there.
Yeah, for sure. And similarly, anytime something just goes a little bit differently from how you planned, right? It's a really great opportunity for praise. Something that I find that is kind of a fun way to add, I don't know, a little bit, like, if you're wanting to give praise and not quite sure what you want to say, I often find it's really helpful to give almost a different perspective on the scene or the sex you are having. So saying something like, you know, oh, when I felt you coming on my back, this is what I was thinking about, right? Like, I was giggling because it was, like, silly to be in this way. And also it was actually kind of hot to me in this, like, premature ejaculation kind of way, blah, 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 right? And you can take something and give them a little bit of extra context, which is going to, like, help them feel good about this thing that happened, right? They're like, oh, you were thinking about the sexy stuff while it happened. And, like, give them a little bit of extra information, right? And it is just, I don't know, it is a fun thing to receive as well, to be like, oh, that's what you were thinking? Wow, I was thinking these things. Weird. Brains are neat.
Yeah, and on the subject of, like, more roleplay type things, even if you're in a situation where you feel like compliments wouldn't necessarily be appropriate, I feel like it is still possible to compliment someone in a mean way a lot of the time. Like, you know, if
you're so fun to hurt,
right. Or like, I love the way you blush, when you're embarrassed or, like, whatever. There's always something you can say where it's like, it can still come across as really mean.
Right.
In a fun way.
Right. Like, I don't know, even if you were, like, degrading and objectifying someone or whatever, praising them for becoming the thing that you want them to be.
Right, you're right, such a exactly. good footstool. Yeah.
Exactly. Oh, look at you. You're so worthless. You just make such a good little toy. God, you just fall into this role so easily. It's like you're made to be a worthless little slut. I don't know.
It's, you know, all about, like, the tone of voice. Your tone of voice literally sounds like as if you're like, I really like this painting that you painted. You're a really good artist. It's like totally different.
You just explain it like it's a fact. Like, it's just, it's, wow, you've done such a good job.
Yeah, totally. Okay, I love this question. Someone was asking, how do you incorporate praise kink into solo play? First thing that came to mind for me, there's actually a fair amount of, like, praise kink audio erotica files out there. I think Gone Wild Audio on Reddit would be a good place to start looking, but there's really just a lot out there. In particular, there seems to be a lot of praise kink audios made by men for women. But yeah, that's probably what I would do. But I don't know. What do you think about this?
Yeah, I think that would be great. I think you could definitely play with writing notes of praise for your future self, right? Whether you are, like, writing a bunch of things you know to be true and having them in a jar, and then, like, another time when you were subby and feeling, like, not feeling great, but also wanting to have some like solo subspacey time, whatever, reading things out to yourself. Mm-hmm. It's a great way to do that. I'm sure I do not have places I can recommend, and this is an entirely solo play, but there are definitely places online where people like gather together to say nice things about naked people on the internet, right?
There's our Discord. Places, there's a place for that
in our Discord. There is a place for that in our Discord. But yeah, finding little communities and places like that where you can trust that there will be a positive reaction. Because I wouldn't just be like, put your dick on Twitter, everyone will love it, because they won't. but, you know, putting things in places where, like, that are in communities that are built up to be this kind of positive, affirming thing can be really, really good.
Mm-hmm. I did this professional development course once where one of the assignments was to ask 10 people for their three favorite qualities of yours. And the way I did it in order to not feel so cringe about asking for it was I posted on Facebook and I was like, if you do it for me, I'll tell you my favorite three qualities of yours, which got really great responses. Like I didn't have to feel shitty at all about being like, hey, compliment me. So I think it would be cool to like do that and then have that list in front of you. And then maybe you say them out loud, or maybe you put them in like a text to speech thing, or like, I don't know what you want to do with them, but it's nice to have those for both sexual and non-sexual reasons.
Yeah. It could also be fun to come up with, I don't know, creative questions or challenges for yourself, like pick X amount of positive words that describe me. Pick X amount of things that I think I am good at, come up with like kind of these questions, and then have solo times where you are just like, especially if you're a person who likes delving into the, part of what's fun about Praise King for you is delving into the uncomfortable feelings of praising yourself. Taking out one of those like little challenges and being like, all right, I'm going to get in kind of a subby headspace, and maybe I have to list all these things while I am spanking myself, or maybe I have to like sit down and write all of them out for myself, and then I will get a reward afterwards or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've also sometimes enjoyed writing compliments to myself on my body so that I'm just walking around with them during the day. Yeah, I think that this is like one of the reasons why it made so much sense for me to get Good Girl tattooed on me, because like I had been doing that already in various places, so that I would just like, you know, if I pulled up my sleeve to wash my hands, I would see, you know, that it said I was good or whatever. And yeah, there's something like reinforcing about that, and it also has a little bit of like kinkiness to it for me, like body ownership types of things, even if I'm kind of doing it to myself.
Yeah, and you can do fun stuff with photography with that as well. This is not solo play, but I once went to a conference and was told to bring a marker around with me and have people write nice things on me, which was quite fun. And also you get people being like, what's written on you? And you go, well, and then hand over a marker and get more of them, which is a great way of meeting people. And yeah. One of several conversations, well, my pet also wrote something on me that weekend, and we did not wind up dating for like well over a year since then. Past then or whatever, but I still have photos of the things they wrote, which is quite cute.
That's adorable.
Aww. Yeah.
Okay, we got a couple of listener questions about kind of language. Someone was asking about non-gendered ways to praise a non-binary sub, and then related to that, someone else was asking, what are some terms that are a bit more creative than good boy or good girl?
I tend towards whatever submissive title they identify with a little bit more broadly. So are like a pet, like my partner is my pet. So I, you know, you're such a good little pet. I always put little in there anyway. It just, I don't know. They just run together well.
Yeah, that's true.
Also playing with objectifying things, right? We talked about fucktoy and slut and, you know, such a good little hole or whatever that looks like. Like, there are a lot more degrading objectifying things that are easy to do. It is a little harder to find, like, more endearing ones. I tend towards, like, animals. And, like, I find a lot of folks tend towards animals and mm-hmm. other, like, I guess, mythical creatures and things, like, wherever, whatever genre of non-binary they identify with.
Good little unicorn, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I know some dragons, I know some aliens, like, but I think you could definitely play with things like that. I know lots of non-binary folks have non-human things that they feel like they identify their gender with in various degrees of seriousness. So I would mm-hmm. go down that kind of rabbit hole conversation with them and see what kind of words come up there.
Mm-hmm. Perhaps a literal rabbit hole. Good little bunny.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, I usually just call my partner a good one. When they're being stubby. Yeah, I was gonna
say, good one.
Yeah. Sometimes I call them love, which is like not always a condescending thing to say, but in a certain context, it can come across that way.
Mm-hmm.
I would tend to compliment people on like kind of what they're doing. So like, you know, you're a good pain slut, or like you're a good
little cocksucker.
Right, exactly. Yeah, I think that can be a bit more malleable in terms of gender.
Yeah, that's real clever. That makes sense.
I also call my partner an angel a lot. That's not gendered.
Mm-hmm. The answer is all the non-binary folks I know are weirdos and find the weirdo word that makes them feel warm and fuzzy inside, mm-hmm. which I say with all the love in the world as a weirdo who has lots of weirdo words that make me feel warm and fuzzy inside, right? Mm-hmm. Like lots of weirdo words that I call the people I fuck. Like, you're gonna just, I think it's a matter of sitting down and brainstorming, like pick a subject and come up with as many words in that topic as you can. And like three of them are gonna be words that you would actually consider saying. Mm-hmm. But once you've done that a couple times, hopefully you find a couple that you're like, well, that was kind of hot though. I have fun with that one. I didn't expect to, but that was kind of cute.
Yeah, sometimes you do need to kind of test drive them before you actually have a sense of how you'll feel about them.
Mm-hmm. And be prepared to have ones that, like, test driving also means being prepared to be like, no, that's silly.
Yeah.
That one's silly.
Yeah. Or occasionally like, no, that feels bad. Like, that feels wrong. Mm-hmm. In which case, you know, have a chat about it. Maybe do some aftercare. You can always come back from it.
And trying them out doesn't even have to necessarily be in a scene. Like, I don't know, maybe you have a list of final contenders that hangs out on the fridge, and when you're like walking around, I don't know, making dinner or something, you're like, hey rabbit, go get that cup over there. All right, little gecko, I need you to go get me a bowl and clean it up for me. Oh, you're such a good little gecko. Like, until whichever ones, like, see which ones get the cute, silly reactions, and you're like, okay, wait, the good little gecko is fun to say. Wait, hang on. And then
when you said that, I was picturing the, like, Geico insurance spokesperson, spokes gecko, and I was just like, that is a cute little gecko.
He's such a good little gecko.
I love it. I truly love that.
He is servicey, let's be honest.
I mean, he's in the service industry, I guess you could say. Yeah. Okay. One more listener question, which was about nonverbal praise. I don't know quite whether like technically praise can be said to be nonverbal, but I totally know what this person means in terms of like, they mentioned like head scratches or like head pats. I do think that can be good for like, if you're so exhausted or tapped out during a scene or after a scene that you actually can't form sentences. Like there are ways to communicate that, as long as you know with some degree of certainty that like your partner gets that that's what you're doing. Not everybody's going to receive like a head pat as like a good thing. That can feel kind of like condescending and weird to me, but yeah, it's definitely possible.
Yeah, I think what's great about this kind of nonverbal stuff is that it I generally wouldn't think of it as a replacement for praise, but a supplement to it. It is the kind of thing that, like, I can't sit on the couch and be like, you are a good boy. You're such a good boy. You're doing so good. You're doing fantastic. Like, you won't be able to hear the TV show we're listening to. But I can say, you did such a good job for me today. You took so much. I'm really, really proud of you. And then pet your head for the next 5 minutes, right? And play with your hair. And it will reinforce it. And you will constantly be feeling that touch and, like, reminding, like, oh, I'm getting head pets because I was a good boy. Look at me go, you know? Without me constantly saying it, right? I can be bouncing around the house cleaning, and as I walk by, like, run my hand along someone's waist and give them a big squeeze, or, like, you know, just be particularly affectionate, or just, like, I don't know, look really hungrily at them and how they look in those particular tiny shorts that they're wearing, and just pause for a moment to be like, I just gotta, and then move on with what I'm doing. Right? All of that can feel like praise. That can be, I think, peppered throughout the day to kind of reinforce and supplement the more explicit verbal things that you're doing.
Yep, totally. I'll also sometimes have my partner, like, they will tell me before they do something, like, this is because you did such a good job, or this is because you're such a good girl. And it might be like a spanking or a massage or going down on me or whatever. And then I'm kind of like ruminating on that while they're doing that. So it still feels like there's some level of praise going on, even though it's nonverbal.
Yeah, I think like anything that can be categorized as worship definitely falls in the category of this, like, nonverbal praise. Like, if I am sitting down and just devoted to a particular part of your body and making it feel good or making you feel good, or, like, I am just, like, we're spending this whole scene dedicated to how much I adore your cock, like, that there's a lot of praise built into that, whether I'm saying it or not. There are things in my body language, in the kind of devotion that I'm trying to display, in even maybe like the look in my eyes and the ways that I would touch and, like, massage someone and that sort of thing. So playing with ideas of, like, this kind of worship and almost reverence for your partner's body and the way you play with them can absolutely integrate these, like, nonverbal elements of praise into your scene.
Yep, totally. All right, I think that's everything.
Yeah.
Did you have anything else to add about any of that?
We like praise. Tell us how great we are.
It's true. You can praise us by writing an iTunes review.
Yeah.
5 stars, baby. Yeah. Thank you for joining us for this episode of The Dildorks. You're all good little listeners, every single one of you.
Such good little listeners. We're so proud of you. Made it all the way to the end of the episode.
I have been Kate Sloan. I have a sex blog at girlyjuice.net. I write a weekly newsletter at katesloan.substack.com. I also have a book out, which you can find at 101kinkythings.com. There is a section in there about humiliation, but not about praise. But, you know, they're kind of two sides of the same coin in a way. You can also follow me on Twitter and Instagram at girly_juice. Where is your stuff?
I'm Bex. I'm a sex educator and porn maker. You can find all my writing and information about my workshops at bextalksex.com. I just listed, well, tonight at time of recording, so y'all, unless you have a time machine, are not going to be going to it, unless you did, in which case I hope you had a great time. But tonight I'm teaching Beautifully Bruised Booties, which is my first impact class. I just scheduled it twice in November, though, so if you did miss the one I'm teaching in a couple hours, come on out and check that out in November. I'm also teaching Bang and Blowjobs and Better Bottoming twice in November as well, so if you need the dates for those, you can go to bextalksex.com or simply search Bex Caputo on Eventbrite to get tickets to all of those. They're all online, so you can see them from pretty much anywhere in the world, and I have them at 2 different times to accommodate for time zones. If you want to see my porn, you can go to @BillyLore on Twitter, where you can find all the links to buy my videos, join my fan site, sext me, or any other kind of kinky pervy things you want to see me do. And together we are the Dildorks. You can find us at the Dildorks on Twitter and Instagram, and at thedildorks.com. You can also go to patreon.com/thedildorks to toss a couple of bucks our way, help us keep making the show, and to join our exclusive Discord for Dildorks listeners. We mentioned quite a bit that we learned from those folks and several questions from them in the show today. I've been having a ton of fun chatting with folks in there. We've got a great little community, and we're looking forward to having you join it.
Yeah, and thank you so much to our top-tier supporters, who we thank every week on the show. Their names are Amelia, Matthew, Nat, and Stabitha Christie. Thank you also to Protodome, who did our theme song. His music is at protodome.bandcamp.com. Thank you to Amy, who did our logo. She is at starboots_ on Twitter. And thank you to you for listening. Until next time, folks, get out there and live your sexy, dorky life. Okay.
Listen to the satisfying out ass sound that the organizer app makes. Anyway,
it's good.
It's the sound it makes when it's telling me I made money because someone bought tickets to my workshop.
Oh, nice. That's
so
you have might a positive have a, association with it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Maybe a bit of a little Pavlovian reaction there. But every time I open the app, I'm like, look at that satisfying ass sound that says I get to eat this week. Shit.
Yeah, it's good. When I sell music on Bandcamp, I get an email from them that says cha-ching. And it's just, nice. Yeah, it's satisfying. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, that reminds me of, this is a little bit far afield, but, did I forget what I was going to say? It was something about cancel culture. give me a second, I'll get it back. Nah, it's gone. It was something about it's public gone. Shaming and how it's the opposite of that, but I can't remember. Whatever, it's fine. I would probably get it's in fine. Trouble for it anyway.
That's how that goes.
Yeah.